The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Friday post-game edition of the Talking About podcast. I'm Sean Kennedy. With me on the line to discuss the Sixers' 137-125 win in San Antonio is Dave Early of Liberty Ballers. Dave, how are you?
I'm good. It was another good win.
Yeah, sloppy start in the very beginning as they had three turnovers in the first minute and change, and Doc called a timeout, and then, yeah, a few minutes before they made their first field goal, but eventually got it together. It was the bench that really sparked them in the first half and kind of led them to a 47-point second quarter, which was their highest scoring quarter on the season, and eventually, you know, big run in the third as well to kind of push it the lead a little further. And unfortunately, it looked like the guys might get some added rest, but the third unit came in midway through the fourth quarter, 20-point lead, dropped to 10 almost immediately. Starters came back in. Not what you want to see, but yeah, we're going to talk about all that stuff. I think first, the big story is probably Tyrese Maxey continuing to thrive in the six-man role. He had 25 points off the bench in just 27 minutes. Very efficient. 8 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3, 4 assists as well. Was there anyone else that was happier to see the size and length of the Orlando Magic in the rearview mirror than Tyrese Maxey, Dave?
Maxey did not have a good couple games there. A 10-point game, you know that's stuck in his craw or whatever the phrase is. I think that Case Scott mentioned that bothered him, so he wanted to come out with a vengeance, and he did. Really nice game. The 7 free throw attempts I really like to see. The 4 assists and 0 turnovers I really like to see. And obviously 3 of 4 from three-point land is awesome.
Yeah, just playing at a different speed than a lot of other guys. And it was even more obvious because the starting group came out so like lethargic and really just kind of looked like they're
really did.
Yeah, just I don't know what it was. Like, they had an off day yesterday. I mean, it was a travel day, but you know, going to San Antonio is not like you're flying out to the West Coast or anything. It's not a terrible trip.
I feel like it's the doldrums of, you know, like they can see the All-Star break. It's like when you're at a 9 to 5 and you're trying to make it to lunch, and your last hour before lunch, you just lag. You know, you're like, oh, lunch is right there.
You just start pulling up the menus on your computer. Like, what should I get?
Yeah, maybe you text your friend, hey, I'm going to call you when I get a break. I think that's where they are, probably, mentally and physically. They're probably pretty exhausted.
Yeah, that's possible for sure. But yeah, we're going to talk about this later, but James Harden left off the All-Star team. So a lot of people thought that he might have come out like just looking to show people like, hey, you're ridiculous for leaving me off the All-Star team. And a lot of people expected a huge game from him, but yeah, not the case. I mean, he obviously only played 25 minutes because they gave the bench a lot of run, but still just 16 points, 8 assists. Not really the assertive James Harden effort we might have expected coming in, given the narratives of the day.
I think if he were a 26-year-old star, you might have seen a little bit more of that. But at this point in his career, does he have to drop 50 on the Spurs to get your attention? Like, well, you know, what's he going to hold? What's he going to pull one of those out for? I think he's wise enough to say, let me third gear this game and let's just get us the win. I'll prove my points at another date.
Fair enough. Yeah, he was clearly disappointed about not making his 11th straight All-Star appearance, but yeah, he does have bigger fish to fry, so to speak, this year, and he's looking for a title. I think so.
Whatever. I'll tell you this: if he puts up like, you know, 30-20 in the Garden on Sunday, that'll be a lot more of a storyline than if he did that here against the Spurs.
True. Yeah. Do it on the bigger stage against a playoff caliber opponent. So, yeah. Well, hopefully from a Sixers perspective, that comes to fruition. But yeah, getting back to the bench, you know, aside from Tyrese, I think it was a really strong effort from the whole second unit. George Niang had 13 points, hit three threes. Shake Milton, 14 points, a couple of really nice drives. He had the one where he kind of had the left-handed runner that just looked really smooth. Not something I've seen a ton of from Shake. And he had the N1 in the second half where he just drove really hard at the left side of the basket, finished through contact. Shake continues. I mean, we were talking about this the other day. He's like borderline 50-40-90 season, kind of just not realistically going to get it, but the numbers aren't too far off. It's just like really impressive efficiency from Shake, and he's adapted to his bench role after that stint as like the primary creator during the Hospital Sixers days. But great effort from him as well. Trez Harrell, despite his turnstile defense a lot, had some good finishes at the rim himself. And Matisse was active. He had a couple nice drives and his usual two steals. Him and Tyrese had one of the more fun sequences of the game when they're in the third quarter when they were both out top. And Matisse had the steal, set it up for Tyrese to finish in the lane. And then the next time down, they forced another bad pass that Tyrese got. It was kind of like a pick six situation. And then he just pulled up from three in transition. So yeah, like to see those two guys working well together, a lot of youth and speed in that combination. So
good. Yeah, well, that sequence. And then like the very next possession, I believe Niang hit a corner three and then we really started cooking with gas at that point.
Yep. I think that stretched it to 20, I believe. And yeah, that kind of that second surge from the bench in the second half as well, just kind of put the game to bed. So yeah, great to see them enable the starters get a little more rest. Joel played 27 minutes. Tyrese played 27 minutes. Those were the two highest minutes totals for the team tonight. So, you know, that's ideal. And it was good to see Doc recognize how well the bench was playing in the first half, and he just kind of stuck with them because you know in the first half they looked better than the starters, so why not stick with it?
Yeah, so the Maxey, Matisse, Niang, Shake, Trez lineup, I was like, I don't know if I trust these guys even against the Spurs, and then they just kept building that lead and kept building that lead. And then deep into that fourth quarter, somewhere around the 7 minute mark, Doc decided, I guess this game is over. Let me clear the bench, which went the other way pretty quickly. The rights to Ricky guys were in attendance, right? I think the broadcast said there was like 400 of them there to cheer Paul Reed.
So yeah, it was like the fly the process game, right?
Yeah.
So they did get to see B-ball Paul. Not a great initial stint from him, as you mentioned. They bring the third unit in, and it went from 20-10 very quickly. Doc had to
Reed
sub.
Was a minus 14 in 4 minutes, which was rough.
Which is not great. And he did come back in with like a minute left and get a couple of buckets, but so could have been worse. But yeah, minus 14 in 4 minutes. That's pretty brutal. And Dan Wellhouse was minus 8 in 7 minutes. So
it was just a little bit weird because they bring in the third unit, and the third unit completely implodes. I guess that makes them decide. I think it was a little bit early, to be honest. to bring them in. It was 7 minutes. I forget what the lead was, but I was like, oh, 7 minutes. The Spurs, Greg Popovich, Brett Brown, they're gonna play hard.
Good to see Brett. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. I thought at one point Popovich was gonna get himself ejected so that Brett could coach, just so that would be a very nice moment for him.
Yeah, he did get the one tech.
Yes.
So yeah, not out of the question for sure.
I thought Pop was playing some chess with that move.
Would have been a
second one.
Would have been a fun moment. But yeah, glad to see Brett back on the sidelines, of course. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of disagree with you. I thought it was a 20-point lead.
19. All right, her 19-point lead with 7:09 to go. Reed and House check in.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a. It's a couple guys, and you still had Maxey out there, and Shake, who had been playing really well. So it's not like that's a just having Reed and House in there. Yeah, things shouldn't completely fall apart. Like, especially with 60% of a bench unit that had been, you know, probably the reason you're winning this game, at least as substantially as you are. Like that, they'd been a great unit all night. So. I don't know. It shouldn't have all fallen apart just because Reed and House checked in. So maybe
definitely
just
definitely shouldn't have, but because they've played so seldomly over the last month or more, it made me a little nervous. I thought it was just a little bit early to throw it in, and then you have to bring the starters back. Maybe more of that second unit rather than the third unit could have actually closed the door if they let it play out a little bit more.
Yeah,
and then it was weird because when they brought the starters back in, they left out House rather than, I think, Maxey or Tucker. And I'm thinking
it was Tucker. Yeah,
was this not to embarrass him? Like, why wouldn't you just
Tucker? Probably just, you know, the old legs couldn't get revved up again. They had officially shut down for the night.
He did take a hard shot to the leg. Maybe it was Pirtle, who's got some like tree trunks. So maybe that stiffened up on him or something, but it was just odd. You'd think they would have at least put in Matisse, who was like a game high plus 13.
Yeah. I don't know. I really didn't have a lot of problems with the decision. I didn't think it was too early. I think they could have just, you got to do a better job there. Like, that's your job, is to not lose 10 points of the lead in 3 minutes. You got to do better than that if you're going to be a professional team.
Especially if we want Paul Reed to play over Trez, right?
Yeah. So did not help the case tonight with Trez playing playing decent and Paul Reed
right.
minus 14 in 4 minutes. So yeah, not a good day for the get out the mud folk.
I'm caught between my criticized Doc and cheer on Paul Reed dilemma. So I have to pick one or the other, right?
Yeah. So not yeah. I would say that. January coach of the month for the Eastern Conference. Doc Rivers pushed the right buttons tonight, but it just didn't happen to work out. All right, we're going to take a quick break here from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll finish up on tonight's game and then talk about the egregious all-star snub of James Harden. All right, and we're back. Probably the only other thing we should hit on is Joel Embiid, who led the team in scoring with 33, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Just, I don't know, just one of those quiet 33-point games from Joel. He got to the line 13 times, as he's wont to do, hit a couple threes, but it never felt like, hey, this is just like a dominant Joel Embiid night. It just felt like he was just kind of taking care of business and going about things within the context of the game. I think it's just incredible that you're like, oh, fine night from Joel, and he has 33 and 10, which is, you know, most guys, that's a ridiculous line.
It's a dominant line, and it's just his average.
Yeah.
And when you watch it, you think this was his third consecutive game in a row where he didn't really look that good. I mean,
yeah.
After that Denver game, he's kind of looked like he's been going through the motions a little bit. I know he's banged up.
He grabbed that shoulder the one time during this game again, and then it was the left shoulder this time. Is that's the different shoulder than the one that's been bothering him, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wore a kinesio band on the right shoulder. That's been bothering him all year. I'm not sure we have all he said that I believe is it hurts, or very, very early in the season. I don't know. They've probably scanned it since it has been bugging him all year, but they haven't mentioned what it is.
Yeah.
And then
So then,
he's playing the left
tonight,
wing.
yeah, he had the. He was driving, and Pirtle kind of tried to take a charge with Joel kind of lowering the left shoulder a little bit, and Joel drew the foul, but it looked like something happened where his shoulder took a pretty big impact with the drive.
It looked just like the one he did back in 2020 against the Cavaliers. I believe he missed a couple games after that with like a sore shoulder. So we'll have to keep an eye on that injury report. But this one didn't seem quite as bad because he played so much more. Didn't like seeing him come back in what was basically garbage time and like diving around. And there were a few moments where I thought he was continuing to not anticipate doubles and traps, the same thing that Orlando was doing, guys coming from behind him, and he's just not seeing it. Whereas he had been seeing that in the prior 15 games. So I feel like he's just a step slow right now after the big if you're into narratives, the big high of beating Denver.
Yeah, and as sore and everything as he is, definitely a guy that could use the All-Star break coming up to get a few rest days. But yeah, to your point, Joel, my man, there's 90 seconds left in a game. You're up by double digits. You do not need to like charge down the lane to go after an offensive rebound and like dive on the court in a flailing motion. Yeah, cut that out, man.
You said you don't want any more freak injuries. Well, that wouldn't have been one. That would
Yeah.
have been an injury you could have prevented for sure.
Yeah. Don't need to do that, my man. I love the hustle and the effort, but just something that is completely avoidable on
Yeah.
your behalf. All right. So good win for the Sixers tonight. 137, 125. Not they did what they needed to do. They took care of the basketball after the awful first minute. They then went 2 quarters of only turning it over about two times, I think, combined in the second and third quarters. Good work by the bench. Get everybody some rest. And on to New York on Sunday. So
That's a big one.
137. Yeah, big one for sure. 137, 125 win for the Sixers. So couple more topics before we go. First, James Harden did not make the All-Star team, despite the fact that he is on pace to lead the league in assists. He's got a healthy scoring average as well, while adapting his game and shooting more catch and shoot threes than ever, and he's hitting those at a clip of just over 47% on catch and shoot threes this year. So willing to incorporate new stuff into his game at the age of 33, and the second option on a team that's got a top five record in the league this year and leading the league in assists. I don't know. Sounds like an all-star to me, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, they're only like what, 2.5, 3 games behind Boston as it sits.
Yeah, to
And so
one game in the loss column after tonight's games.
one game in the loss column. So this narrative that Boston is this juggernaut, the disparity isn't there in the standings anymore. If that's what Jaylen Brown had going for him as an argument, I don't know. I mean, has he been definitively better than James Harden? I don't think he has. I know he's seen as a two-way player, but he's not the engine that's driving that steamship the way James is here. I wouldn't quibble with Jaylen Brown. I think he's really good, but I think Harden at least has an argument over him that gets progressively stronger as you get into guys like Julius Randle. I mean, come on. DeMar DeRozan's team is like
DeMar
3 or 4 games below 500. He doesn't produce more points for his team when you look at playmaking and points than James. And his team isn't winning. So, what was the argument for him? Knicks fans don't even want to keep Julius Randle long term, and so you can kind of see where his value would be if we were to like draft the NBA players to win a championship this season. None of us would pick Randle higher than Harden. So maybe it was a durability argument. Harden had a sprained foot and he missed games for some of these assistant coaches who vote. Maybe it was that simple,
Yeah,
but.
he's missed about 16 games, I think. He's played about 34 of the 50 that the Sixers had played
He's
coming
supposed to
into
be out
tonight.
there. He's
Like,
seventh in the MVP ladder. Come on.
yeah, that was the updated MVP ladder comes out and he's seventh, but
Seventh.
he's not going to be an All-Star team.
He's fifth in the East.
Yeah.
Not even one of the 12 players.
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher with some of the All-Star reserves that were announced compared to what Harden's doing. Over 21 points, 11 assists per game, averaging a career high 39.4% from three. His 44% from the field's his best in a couple of years. Just really having an excellent season. Like, should have been a surefire All-Star, in my opinion.
I would have had, if I could do it, I would have had Embiid in the starting unit. I would probably bench Kyrie Irving. And I would get Haliburton out there. I would get Bam Adebayo. I wouldn't penalize this dude on Toronto for playing as well as he has because of their losses, because Pascal Siakam has been awesome. And I wouldn't penalize Harden and Butler for missing the games they have because they're some of the best players in the East. So that's about how my all-star team would look.
Yeah, it was surprising not only because I think Harden deserves it, but because he has the pedigree. And the thing that came out is like, oh, these coaches maybe they don't spend a lot of time with thinking about it. Like they're not combing the tape of all these candidates and researching and the analytics that they've been putting up and the advanced numbers, like a lot of
So,
people in the blogosphere do. Like they're only thinking about their team and their next night's opponent, and that's about it. So these, like you see the tweets, like they spend like maybe less than a half hour, maybe 5 minutes, some of these guys thinking about it. So,
maybe that's worse if I
well,
was like,
how does James Harden, guy who has made 10 straight, how's that at your default? Like, oh, well, Harden
right.
should be in there, right? He's been doing it for a decade. What are his numbers? 21 and 11? Yeah, sounds like an all-star. How did
If
that
you
not happen?
jumped off, like we used to play this game when I was a kid, you jump off the high diving board and get a trivia question. If I said who's better, Harden or Randle, and the first thing that popped in your head with no research was Julius Randle, we have an issue.
Yeah. A lot of head scratchers with the whole All-Star process this year. From Joel not being a starter to James not making the team at all. But yeah, what can you do? As James said, like he's thinking about winning the title. So disappointing, but he's got to kind of move on.
Well, thank goodness we don't have to worry about him in the Salt Lake City nightlife. I just have to say that.
Gosh, what is he going to get up to instead? Maybe that would have been a good way to curb it for
That's true. He's going to go to Houston
the
with Tucker now.
week. Yeah, they're going to get into some mischief. But maybe he'll just maybe he's got some wine business to attend to. Like he's got to oversee some shipments or something.
There will be wine business.
All right, we're going to finish up with some news that came out this week. That has to do with an Eastern Conference contender. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from Brooklyn. Deja vu, Dave, huh? We've
It's
heard this story before.
double deja vu because James Harden used this play to get out of Brooklyn. Kevin Durant tried it in the summer. They called his bluff. They probably enjoy that decision for a long time until this. And now it's like, well, do we call another bluff and just throw money at him in the summer if we want to keep him? Or do we actually take him up on this and assume he's going to leave us for nothing and see what we can get? I don't think the cost benefit analysis will be in their favor if they trade them. So I think they will not. I hope they do because it sure would be nice. We could quibble about their chances of winning the championship, but Las Vegas certainly thinks that they can. And I tend to agree with them. It would be nice to see this team finally blow up. They've been teetering for so many months now.
Yeah, they're 2.5 to maybe three after the standings update, but no more than 3 games behind the Sixers right now. Fourth in the East coming in tonight. So yeah, either you're wor I'm not worried about them passing the Sixers just because of the KD injury, and we've talked about this before. I think they're pretty destined to continue dropping off a little bit because of that. But yeah, you could be looking at a potential first round opponent maybe,
Whew,
or
that'd be
yeah.
tough.
Yeah, it would be tough, but Kyrie going out, if it'd be hard to imagine a trade where Kyrie leaves and they get equal talent from an on-court perspective back in a trade.
Not
So,
happening.
yeah, it's either we feel like he's going to be such a distraction that we're going to get rid of it and it's going to be a net negative from a basketball perspective, Or they're just gonna, suck it up for a week, keep him around and say like, oh, well, trade deadline passed, like what are you gonna do? And just kind of try to weather the storm from there. And I feel like that's what's gonna happen. I don't think the trade's gonna go down.
You
What
look
would
at
you
Ben
put the odds on that the trade does happen?
trading Kyrie.
Yeah.
I guess I would estimate 17%.
Just off the top of your head, 17%.
Yeah, if you're not confidently just pulling numbers out of your ass, then what are you doing, right?
Yeah. All right.
Seventeen percent.
I'll go 8.5%. I'll go
Okay,
half of
I put our percents on
it.
Harris getting traded into an article, so I'm gonna average these in some future one. I think if you're them, you look at how poorly the Ben Simmons acquisition has gone, and you're like, well, Harden pulled this and we traded him and it stinks and we wish we kept him. What are we going to do if we trade Kyrie for like John Collins and we're just trash and now Kevin wants out? We can't do that. So I think the move is you try to trade Ben, you look to use that Sixers 2027 pick, protected 1 through 8. If you need to, you see what the best thing you could get. If Ben has no market and actually you need to use that pick just to dump him, Tim Bontemps was estimating they might have to use picks to get off. And then you keep Ben, load manage him until hopefully he's healthy, and you shop maybe Joe Harris in that pick for another. And then if all goes well, you offer Kyrie a lot of money in the summer and suck it up because otherwise Kevin Durant will definitely want out. I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I think the reporting was it might take two firsts to get rid of Ben. Like,
So they won't consider that.
yikes. But just the fact that that's even a reported market value or whatever, just really, really rough.
All hail Daryl Morey then, right?
Yeah, he definitely sold at the right time on that stock.
Yeah.
And yeah, the way Harden's been playing looks like we got a clear winner in that trade, even if we have missed Andre Drummond and Seth Curry in Philadelphia.
Maybe we can get Seth back. Make the
Yeah,
call.
and Drummond is a purported target maybe at the trade
Bring
deadline
back
for
the
the
whole
Sixers.
gang, Seth and Drum, Big
Yeah.
Penguin.
Yeah.
That
Seth.
would be a gangbusters deadline if they got Seth and Drummond.
I don't really see a path to Seth with the salary, but Drummond, I
It would
think
be like
that's very realistic.
Matisse house in a second. Would you do that?
But that's what you have to do to get Drummond, isn't it?
No. You
Like
could do
you have to do like Matisse, right?
Korkmaz in a second to get Drummond, and now Matisse house. And do you have any other seconds? Like a second in 2026 to get.
Remember when they had about a dozen seconds to toss around. Now
Yeah, these
they
damn
maybe have two.
tamperings. Three
Yeah.
for George Hill, another couple for tampering.
Yep.
And but if
The
Seth
rest
said,
to sign Ishmith or to bring Ishmith
yes, come on, Colangelo. If Seth said to
back.
them, there's too much turmoil here, I'm going to leave you for sure, then it makes sense to shop him. And then maybe Matisse isn't the worst guy because you could right away, you could plug in Patty Mills, who's barely in the rotation, to arbitrage a little bit of Seth's shooting and then have a defender. I don't know.
Yeah, and they did have interest in him last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Brooklyn. Even if it's not a Kyrie trade, I think they're definitely going to be. They got to do something at the deadline. And they as we talked about last week, they have a lot of tradable parts just with the contracts they have, and they have a pretty deep roster in terms of guys that other people might find intriguing to some extent. So,
Yeah, it makes sense for them to call Detroit, Utah.
yep. So it's gonna be interesting with that. It's gonna be interesting with the Sixers. So Dave, we will not talk again before the deadline. So I guess we should say what we expect to happen. Do you think a trade definitely goes down?
For the Sixers,
Yeah.
I think they do a couple things. Yeah, I think they address the backup center. I don't know if it's going to be off the buyout, but I actually think they'll probably do a trade there. And I think that they will end up with a reserve wing, some sort of facsimile for what Daniel House is, and a little bit of insurance since he hasn't worked out yet. I don't know that they've completely given up on D House, but I think they want someone else who might be able to do what he was supposed to do, just in case he can't. So I think one of Matisse, Niang, Shake might go, and for sure Korkmaz and Springer will be on that firing line, which also implies, if you address the backup big, that one of Reed or Trez is gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think the back, they'll definitely bring in another center, in my opinion. I think they'll use the Korkmaz contract and whatever else they need to make it happen. I see it like a Drummond type coming in.
And then you think Reed's days are numbered?
I don't know. Hard to say. I feel like
they
could just keep him
Doc
around.
Or Daryl? Reed or Trez?
They could just keep him around as a fourth big. They've done it before.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't see them shipping House out because he has that player option. So is the team really going to want to the possibility of him picking that up and have him on the books for $4 million next season? Not that that's a ton of money, but I would think anyone that's trading with the Sixers for their end to bench guys would want it to be a definite expiring. Which that's why Korkmaz's contract's kind of perfect right now.
Well, he makes $5 million next year himself.
Oh.
He makes 5.3.
That is true.
He's even more than House.
Okay, I stand corrected.
But you would look at it as, I'll pay Korkmaz or House $4 million, $5 million bucks for the 34th pick in the draft if you give me that Hornets pick, because that's worth it to me to take a shot and develop a guy. If you're Detroit, you do something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody that isn't looking to contend next year, that is just still in asset acquisition mode. And that 34th pick or whatever it ends up being, but should be a high second rounder.
The first five picks in the second round, we've heard this phrase bandied about for guys like Jared Vanderbilt of Utah, like the equivalent of a first round pick. You could argue that the 33rd pick is the equivalent if that's where that Hornets pick winds up being.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of executives actually prefer it to the late first because of the contract structure and not
Good
being
point.
Guaranteed, and you get to negotiate that to your own advantage as a
listen to us.
As
We're
an
selling some team out there. Did you hear this, everyone?
Daryl, are you aware of? I don't know
Leon
if you know
Rose.
What
Leon
a desirable
Rose, you need to know.
Trade asset this is. But yeah, so
Jericho Sims for that pick. Let's fax it in, Leon.
Yeah. It's the very last thing in the pantry of what's become a bare cupboard of assets for the Sixers.
That's right.
It's still there, but that last can. We'll see what happens. I do think something will definitely happen at the trade deadline. Don't think it'll be a major thing, but try to shore up that backup center spot, which has not been a strength for the Sixers this season. But
I know Paul Hudrick has his eye on the Nova guy, Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It'd be interesting. Like, how much would Doc trust him? I guess he's a wing, so he's like, he could slot in the Matisse minutes.
He could shoot better, so.
Yeah,
because
the guard, the guard rotation, once the playoff rolls around, that's pretty much set. Like, you got your top three, and then Shake has been playing tremendous, so I feel like any 8 to 10 minutes in a playoff game you need from Shake, you're fine. So that's your guard rotation; it's already set. So can Bay be the three for you? And like how many minutes do you need from that backup spot on the wing?
It's really fun to say his name in a sentence like that. Can Bay be that? Can Bay do that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would love him. Bringing any old Nova guys, I'm 100% on board.
I love Josh Hart and Jared Vanderbilt. That would be like an awesome, exciting trade deadline for me.
Yeah, it seems like Vanderbilt seems to be the guy, like the pie in the sky guy that Sixers fans are pinning their hopes on.
It's like when we liked Maxey, we're like, we know he's going to go 18th. He's not going to fall to 20th, right?
Yeah. What a fortuitous drop in the draft, man.
Yes.
Think about how much better this team's fortunes are because of that.
Oh.
And because Mike Muscala hit that three. So
Mikey. Moose.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Well, this has been fun. Thanks for talking out this trade deadline stuff and discussing tonight's Sixers win. Once again, that was 137-125 in San Antonio. Back an official winning streak. So two straight for the Sixers now as they head to New York later on this weekend. Dave, where can everybody find you and your work online?
More importantly than that, remember that a couple of years ago in this game, Ben Simmons had a walk-off tip-in game winner.
I
Remember
did not
that in San
remember
Antonio?
that.
I think it went to overtime too. It was right around the same time of year. I'm at libertyballers.com. All my writing's there.
I actually don't remember that. I think I might have blocked out a lot of positive Ben Simmons
Ugly,
moments.
ugly, stressful game that should have been an easy win. And it ended on a Ben Simmons tip-in.
Might have been a late game that I just didn't tune in for, maybe.
Yeah, it was a
I
Saturday. I believe it was a Saturday night, so you probably had better things to do.
Some of these West Coast games, I read about them, but I'm not staying up for every one of them. But yeah, well, that does it for us. I'm Sean Kennedy at Philly Fast Break on Twitter. As always, read all our stuff at Liberty Ballers. A lot of good stuff this week. I enjoyed. We had a really active week with everybody speculating about trade deadline stuff and everything else. So be sure to check out the site. And everybody, have a great week. Enjoy your weekend. Go Birds.
Go Birds.